We will talk to a person rooting for the stock market to go down.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Wall Street adage, sell in May, then go away, meaning for vacation. With less than 4 days of trading left in May, investors are not singing that old song, with Wall Street coming back to work after 3 days off in a buoyant mood and share prices generally higher. On Tuesday, we check in with Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Julie, good morning.
Morning, David.
So some strong housing numbers this morning. The S&P Case-Shiller Index of house prices in about 20 American cities went up in March, year-to-year, biggest rise since, I don't know, 2006, it looks like.
Well, it's pretty much as expected. You've got low interest rates, pent-up demand, cheap prices, and a little more job confidence out there, so there's nothing really spectacular there. That's not going to be what moves in the market. Right now, we've got a lot of anxiety over a correction that may be coming, hoping for it coming. Sell in May and go away is the old adage.
Wait, hoping a correction occurs, hoping stock prices go down in May? Why?
Well, a couple of things. Two-thirds of the time, the market gains are not even 1% from that sell in May and go away until November. A third of the time, though, the market really starts going very strongly. And I think that's going to be the situation this year. We may get a little flattening out because of increased market volatility, but I think you would be not well served by abandoning for one major reason. There's a huge amount of money on the sidelines. A lot of people have not invested yet, hoping for this correction to come along. Now, there is a lot of data out there that makes you very anxious. Europe's whole banking system is very, very fragile at this point. U.S. economic data is pretty sluggish at this point as well, too. But you still have a large amount of money sitting on the sidelines waiting for that big opportunity to get in and put it to work.
Julie Neiman, Smith Moore & Company, thank you very much.
You bet.
An Israeli company that had a way to make electric cars drive long distances has gone bust. The company bought sustainable power from sources that included wind farms and used it to charge electric car batteries. On a long road trip, specially equipped electric cars could drive into a kind of filling station where a robot would swap the depleted battery with a freshly charged one in just a few minutes. The company was called Better Place, and its founder, entrepreneur Shai Agassi, told me during a Now on PBS interview 4 years ago about how Denmark was deploying his system.
I just got it into my head that we can solve the world's dependency on oil by solving this question of infrastructure for electric cars and a new business model.
Israel was trying it. There was interest in Hawaii. And Agassi's vision was to someday build battery swapping stations across the U.S., starting with major arteries such as I-95 in the east and I-5 in the west. The carmaker Nissan was a partner. But now Better Place is going out of business. Sam Jaffe, research analyst at Navigant Research, watched the ups and downs of the company. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Better Place, this was a fascinating approach to greener transportation, but it seems to have unraveled. This is not just a reorganization. This is a liquidation of the company.
Yeah, it's a complete liquidation. It would be the equivalent here in the United States of a Series 7 bankruptcy, meaning they're going to completely liquidate the company, and it's going away.
What did they do wrong, do you think? Is it they didn't expand quickly enough, or they didn't estimate the costs of building these swapping stations? What do you think was their fatal mistake?
I think their fatal mistake was an overemphasis on the swapping stations. They saw that as the most important part of their plan, and they invested heavily in that, and they paid a fortune to build those first stations. And when I saw their initial estimates of how much they cost, they were talking $2 million a station. They were spending $20 to $40 million a station on actually building them. And obviously, you spend more when you build something for the first time, but that's what bankrupted the company.
I did some reporting on a Better Place's approach in Denmark 4 years ago. There was a lot of optimism at that point. What do you think in terms of the mood toward these innovative approaches to transportation? Has the mood shifted in recent years?
I think there's always a room for innovation in transportation. I think that the Better Place approach, which was just throw money at it and it's got to work out right, is probably going away. I think from this point on, anything that is tried that's new is going to have to be built incrementally and built slowly rather than trying to you know, build it and they will come, because they built it. They spent $850 million and they didn't come.
Sam Jaffe, research analyst at Navigant Research, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Executives at the fast food chain McDonald's were on the hot seat at their annual shareholder meeting the other day, facing questions about obesity, marketing to kids, and the low wages of McDonald's workers. All of this comes as the company deals with sluggish sales. According to a recent story in Bloomberg, one possible solution being floated: trim down the menu. McDonald's menu now has about 150 items. 5 years ago, it was about 85. A smaller menu could lower costs and speed up service. We gave our reporter in Portland, Oregon, 2 minutes to tell his story. That's about how long it took him to get the order.
So your intrepid marketplace reporter, Mitchell Hartman, pulling into the McDonald's drive-thru.
Hello. I'll take your order if you're ready.
I think I want a double quarter pounder with cheese. That comes with large fries, right?
Yes, it does. Okay, so far to the first one, though, please. Thank you.
And as I pull up, I note that the menu, which does have a lot of items on it, no longer has the Angus burger. McDonald's says that they are taking items off the menu. They also put new items back on. They say this is a normal part of business. Jim Yin, who is an equity analyst at S&P, says people can't necessarily afford the top shelf items on the menu, like the Angus burger or the fruit and walnut salad.
People are being hurt by the higher payroll taxes, are more likely to trade down. So those items that more target the higher, wealthier income brackets are probably not doing as well.
Now, Mary Chapman at the food research firm Technomic in Chicago agrees McDonald's probably does need to trim its menu a little bit, especially to save money.
A smaller menu means easier training, a smaller kitchen perhaps, and there's ways to add stuff that's novel, that's not adding something to the core menu, limited time offers, specials, the McRib sandwiches. They'll come back because people are crazy about them.
Now, McDonald's, and for that matter, Burger King and Wendy's and Taco Bell and all the rest, they still have menus crammed with stuff. That's to attract customers. I talked about this with psychology professor Barry Schwartz at Swarthmore College, and he says too many consumer choices leads to bad decisions.
You're less satisfied with it, because as you're munching your Big Mac, you're thinking about all the attractive options that you said no to, and the result is that the Big Mac doesn't taste as good. It actually doesn't taste as good.
Thank you. Have a great day.
From the parking lot at McDonald's, somewhere in southeast Portland, Oregon, I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Paul Simon wrote about 50 ways to leave your lover. At Marketplace.org, there's a chart about 50 ways to get a McDonald's burger. Number 51, don't order one and go for a healthy bike ride. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.